This podcast is brought to you by lineupmedia.fm.
Today's show is presented by DaVinci Smart Drink. Order yours now at lineupmedia.fm/DaVinci. DaVinci, excite better thinking.
You need a mental boost? DaVinci Smart Drinks were designed with professional thinkers in mind. With key ingredients shown to improve cognitive function and increase mental energy, DaVinci Smart Drinks excite better thinking. Drink a DaVinci. Let it go to your head.
What the hell's going on out here?
Luke's scared because his eyelids are jammed and his old man's here. We need a live rooster to take the curse off Jose's glove, and nobody seems to know what to get Millie or Jimmy for their wedding present. Is that about right?
That's right.
We're dealing with a lot of shit.
Anyone ever tell you look like a penis with a little hat on?
You're out of here!
Oh, no,
right
no, no,
now,
no,
Jimmy, I heard
you
that!
You misunderstood, Hank!
Why? What do you mean, why? We're in the championship, aren't we? Well, that's what you wanted, wasn't it? Now just behave yourselves and act like men.
I'm not much for giving inspirational addresses. The local press seems to think we'd save everyone a lot of time and trouble if we just went out and shot ourselves.
You play ball like a girl!
I think you're a loser.
I'm a bum!
Hello, everybody. Welcome to this week's edition of the Bleacher Bums. One part of your team, Jimbo, here. Let's welcome in my comrade, Fish. What's up, bud?
Oh, I'm doing good. How you guys doing today?
Doing all right. Looks like we got another week of Steve-O filling in for Jono. He's in a, if you can believe this, in a writer's meeting. They needed him in a writer's meeting. What do you think of that?
I didn't even think he could write.
I mean, you are truly, we are like Mike and Mike now. You truly are that guy that fills in when one of the mics is gone.
Yeah, I try. It's easy. I'm squeezed around two other shows I'm doing. So,
do you feel used?
No. It just, you know, I feel hungry most of the time because it's at the noon hour. But you're lucky I'm dieting today.
We could all stand to lose a pound. What do you think?
I'm gonna try to lose one.
Hey, I'll tell you what. Let's dive right into this because, you know, these are crazy times, in my opinion. There's just some crazy stuff going on around the world. It is the off season. We're coming off the GM meetings. There's nothing anybody else is talking about out there right now than, let's face it, trades, free agency. You know, this is where teams build their winners in the offseason. Man, what happened yesterday? I mean, that was crazy.
Unreal. I mean, it's all looking different. You got Chapman rolling back to the Bronx. They added Holiday up there. You got the Nationals. You got the Red Sox. It's all the big money teams. They're spending the money.
Yeah, but, man, I tell you what. Okay, so we had two big trades that involved massive prospects in the last couple days. And I mean to tell you, when the number one and the number three prospect in all of baseball, and I'm not talking about guys that are sitting down at double and single A. These are guys that are ready to go, okay, if needed. When they get traded, I mean, we're talking about big players on the move. Now, that being said, let's start in Boston. Okay, Chris Sale, let's face it, dominant. If you look up ace in the book, Chris Sale's name's in there, right? Tied for first, Fish, as we like to say. He's definitely in there somewhere in that conversation. Boston goes out and says, you know what? We need that ace to go along with what we have. They identified him. They went out, and it cost them, but they did it. And I got to tell you, trading away high prospects like that is always an iffy game, but I think this makes them legit. So, it's hard to argue that one.
Let me ask you. I haven't done a whole lot of studying of it just because it's kind of goofy. But is it better to be a right-hand hitter or a left-hand hitter in Boston?
That's a great question.
I mean, because they got the pesky pole down there that's like 290.
Well,
but then you got
I think it's
the green
left-handed
monster.
Because, and Fish, I guarantee Fish will know more about the history of this, I'm sure. But my guess would be from a baseball perspective, it's good to be left-handed because when the guys that are left-handed hit the ball the other way, if they get it up at all, rather than it being a long out, they tend to benefit from the wall. Is that correct? And then when they do pull it, you're right, the pesky pole keeps
pesky.
It closer. When you're pesky pole. When you're Penske, I got my
yeah,
my,
racing. Yeah, you're my, racing again.
I'm rubbing racing. Okay. But when you're right-handed, you know, it's a, except for down the line there, it's all
right.
Big, spacious outfield when you hit the ball the other way.
Am
I right there, Fish?
Well, I don't know if you're right or wrong, but I'll say this. The two greatest hitters in Red Sox history were left-handed and Yastrzemski and Williams.
Right.
But they had some good right-handers, too, but
you going to throw Ortiz in that mix at all?
He's
pretty good, left-hander. I'm just asking you, would you put him in that category as one of the great Boston Red Sox left-handed hitters?
Oh, yeah, he'd have to be in that category, but I don't know that he was better than Williams or Yastrzemski. No. Yeah, he's in that category.
Let me tell you, he's better than Yastrzemski, and he's pushing Williams.
Come on.
Look at the stats.
Do you know that Ted Williams missed 3 years to war service? Ted Williams at 521 home runs and missed 3 years, two of them prime time for war service years.
All right. But look at the stats. I'd love to get the stats.
Get on that computer box.
I tell you what, I'd like to see those stats side by side. I said he was pushing Williams, but I guarantee he's better than Yastrzemski.
Oh no, Yastrzemski had a better career than Ortiz did.
No way.
You're crazy.
Come on, really?
Oh yeah.
You can't even spell Yastrzemski. Spell Ortiz.
I actually can. I can't spell Ortiz, but I can't spell Yastrzemski.
All right. But no, I know the power alleys there in Boston, up there in Boston, and is real deep for a lefty, okay? And they got that little nook out there and, you know, center field that plays into it. But I always wondered what you would rather be, a lefty or a righty there.
Well, they had some good right-handers, too, like Jim Rice, Carlton Fisk, good right-handers.
They were better than Ortiz, too.
No, okay. I didn't say
All right.
Man.
Read it off.
All right, so where do you want to start? You want to start? Let's just batting average. I mean, we'll just start. Obviously,
Yastrzemski's was higher.
Ted Williams was a .344 career hitter,
right?
And 3 years of military service obviously played into him missing out on some of those bigger stats, which would be home runs, things like that. Carl Yastrzemski was a .285 lifetime hitter. David Ortiz was a .286 lifetime hitter.
All right.
Keep going.
Okay. Well, no. Now we're going to move on. Now what are we going to move on? Home runs?
One played left field, one DH.
I agree. I'm with you. I'm in your camp on that one for sure. All right, let's go to home runs. This is one that will affect Williams, even though it's still pretty darn good. 521 home runs from a guy that missed three of his prime years serving the military. Carl Yastrzemski, 452 home runs. And David Ortiz, 541 home runs. Pretty good, but
pretty good
as a DH. And to Fish's point, I know where he's going with this. So hang on a minute.
DH. I thought hitting's hitting. What does that have to do with anything?
Well, the guy didn't play any defense.
All right.
So he doesn't get one. Well,
conversation about hitting's hitting.
Yeah, but he didn't. Okay. The difference is though, you could not have put him out there. Okay. Do you think for 1 minute if David Ortiz would have had to play? Okay.
Just move on. Let's go.
All right, now what do we want to do here? We want to go hits?
Hits.
All right, 2,654 hits for Williams. Obviously, he'd have been a 3,000 guy if he wouldn't have missed the 3 years. Carl Yastrzemski, 3,419 hits. David Ortiz, 2,472. Falls extremely short.
So 1,000 more hits.
Yes, extremely short.
I just can't spell Yastrzemski, so.
Is that what this is all about?
That's what it's all about.
I just got to discount the home run thing, too. I mean, I don't want to go the whole steroid thing. I don't want to get into that.
Yeah,
Let's get into it. But what I will say is it is different, whether it's the balls. These guys are hitting home runs at a pace. Ortiz wouldn't have hit 500 home runs playing in Yastrzemski's era. Hey, you didn't do RBIs yet.
I haven't done it yet. But listen, I want to stop you. Let's absolutely get into it because you know I'm on record as trying to figure out why in the world this guy got a pass. Because he failed the test.
Who?
Ortiz.
Well, here's my problem.
Because he's likable.
Because
he's likable.
But he never once said, yeah, I did it.
I know, but he's likable. Well, unlike your McGuire, unlike your Bonds, unlike Palmeiro, Rodriguez, all these guys that aren't likable, guess what? They paid the piper.
My problem is I don't have enough money to get a lawyer and a good lawyer. So I'm not going to get in there and start bashing everybody. But if I did have a good lawyer, I would unleash on a lot of guys.
Well, wait a minute. Number one, I'm not sitting here saying I know he did. So I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is it's documented in a report that he failed the test.
Right. I just
and he hid behind the fact that it was done. It should have been done. It shouldn't have been released to the public because it was before they were technically illegal. And I'm okay with that. I'm on record saying I don't really care what they do. But the reality of it is I love how everybody else gets penalized, and we love this guy who's never stepped up and said, yeah, I did them, and I shouldn't have done them. So, you know, it's a double-edged sword.
I get to see Yastrzemski's career, and this is an interesting argument. I love it because you go a bunch of different ways with it. I got to see a lot of his career, and it just felt like me through the eye test that Yastrzemski was a better hitter than Ortiz. It seemed like to me Ortiz had three or four really good years, but I want to say that Yastrzemski played when there was less teams, so the pitching's watered down. Correct. You know? I mean, there's more guys, you know, but then you could say, well, they specialized in now with closers, so it's harder to get a hit in the eighth or ninth inning now than it was then. Because then, you know, you go different ways. But that watered-down pitching, less teams, means a lot to me.
Man, I got to tell you, as I look at this, there's some impressive stuff here.
There's three good players.
So let's talk about RBIs here. Okay, and then 1,839 for Ted Williams. Obviously, the 3 years hurt him. Because I'm here to tell you, can you imagine 145 ribbies? 327, 31 homers as a rookie. That's impressive stuff. Carl Yastrzemski, 1,844 RBIs. David Ortiz, 1,768. I'm going to tell you that there's no doubt in my mind. I'm going to go with Fish on this one. He only really won one category. Okay? He only won one category.
And he was likable.
He won one by a point, and he DH'd. He didn't play the field. So I'm going to go with that, but pretty good arguments.
All right, I'll go with you guys.
The reason, to start comparing some of these great people is let's look at the history of Boston. Let's look at what they've done. They basically traded I'm not a GM or anything, but they basically traded the number one prospect in baseball plus to get what is essentially one of the best pitchers in baseball because they feel that they are a player away from contending for a legitimate World Series title. Boy, David Price, you know, Chris Sale, Porcello, they've got, you know, a pretty good team.
Great DH, Ortiz.
Yeah. Well, he's out.
No, he's not.
He's coming back.
Come on. They're loading up again. I mean, all right.
So I'm asking you honestly.
Officially not. I've not heard that nowhere, but I've said this before. How could the man retire in that situation anyway?
This ramps it up.
Let me tell you what, he's got to come back.
I mean, and I did hear somebody clown around saying that he, I guess, was somewhere and made a mention playing around. But what's playing now, a week from now, 2 weeks from now, before he'll have his stuff packed up going to Florida.
Well, it is interesting to sit here and say that Boston, it was widely speculated that they needed a DH to replace him, correct? So isn't it weird that they really haven't replaced him? Now, they did sign Moreland, right, which is an interesting sign, a left-handed hitter for that park.
They know something we don't.
Well, that's my thing. So if they sit here and go, if we're going to put all our eggs in a basket, let's go get the ace, maybe we do get him for one more year. Or maybe they're not sure, and in Moreland's their backup plan. So it is an interesting thing. They did trade Shaw, which I thought was weird because I thought that the replacement for him was Moncada. That was really weird. It's almost like that deal fell in their laps, and they decided to do it, and they went. Almost as if, to Fish's point or whatever, almost as if RT said, if you get Chris Sale, I'm going to have to think about this. So it's interesting. I'd like to see where this goes from here because, again, we're back to Moncada was going to be the third baseman. I mean, so it's weird to see what they've got planned there. That's a very interesting thing. But definitely a bold move, which then – domino affected the next move, which I am just completely stunned by, and that is Washington thinks they're getting Sale. They are prepared to offer their massive package, including their first, third, and sixth prospect, which everybody knows who Lucas Giolito is. He's the number three prospect in baseball. Appears to be, and I always say appears to be, a can't-miss prospect. Great, appears to be a great pitcher in the making. And then they trade Lopez, who's another one. So it's like, holy moly. What are we doing here? And they get Adam Eaton, who by all accounts is a fine player. But I'm just sitting here going, they just traded that haul for Adam Eaton. Are the Washington Nationals literally an Adam Eaton away from winning a World Series?
They are all in.
But as one of their, evidently, as one of their players messaged to a reporter, who's going to close these games for us?
Well, hey, I'm telling you, and don't be surprised if they don't spend the money and go out and get Jansen.
Well.
Because here's the deal.
Let me say
something. They are all in right now, not only this year, but they're all in for next year, and they don't have anything in the cupboards after that.
Okay, so here's the deal. If they go get Jansen, I'll applaud this move. But if they don't go get Jansen, what's their – now, if Jansen signs with Miami, maybe they trade for Ramos. I don't know. I don't have any idea what – but you know they got to figure out who's going to catch because their catcher's not going to start the year. I mean, they got some holes to fill, and they just traded all their chips for a good center fielder, I'm not putting him in the Hall of Fame like everybody else is. I mean, I got to tell you, you talk about amping up the price tag for baseball. Wow. I mean, that's a wow. The St. Louis Cardinals are sitting there going, holy cow, what do we do? They obviously are – them and the Toronto Blue Jays are sitting there going, we need a center fielder. And the price of poker just went up. Dexter Fowler's got to be sitting there just going, hey, give me a call back when you get to $20 million. He's got to be sitting there doing that.
You got to hold tight if you're Fowler.
Oh,
you got to strike while the iron's hot and sit there and get that money.
What if you're Colorado? How about them? They come out of all the places Ian Desmond was going to wind up. Did you even consider Colorado? I mean, they were talking about trading an outfielder before they signed him.
Now that you know, we talked about that yesterday. Does that open the door that they had another move in mind? And that often happens where these guys are loaded up two or three moves down the road to play it that way.
Well, here's what I believe. This is my conspiracy theory. I am of the opinion that they said, let's do this. Desmond's definitely an offensive player anyway. Let's go get him. If we have to, we can play him at first. But this gives us leverage to trade our center fielder, and look what they're getting for center fielders. Because they would have to look at it like this. Look at the package that everybody thinks or heard was going on for the Cardinals for Blackman before it blew up. I think I had heard some rumors like a Waka and a Matt Adams, and it may have been a prospect too or whatever. But they've talked about Luke Weaver. They've talked about all these other things. So let's say it takes all that and maybe a little more to get a Charlie Blackman. Well, then they would have to naturally look at it after it's all over with, like, all we did was replace Blackman with Desmond, and we got these guys. They win no matter what. So they kind of did the old addition by addition. You know, it's like we don't really need Desmond. He's a nice guy to have. We can do this. We do have an opening at first. We could do this. But golly, now we're sitting here going, wow, look at what everybody's getting for these players. Hey, now we got them. We got the outfielders now. Come see us. I don't know, man. It's fascinating to me. Here, and then what's Pittsburgh do? Who needs a center fielder, right? The Cardinals do. They're not. I mean, do they really trade McCutchen to the Cardinals? I don't see them doing that. Do they trade him to Toronto? I don't know. This is fascinating.
I get what you're saying, but with that whole interdivisional trade thing, do you think that's lost a little bit of its luster over the years just because we're advanced? And because what Pittsburgh's trying to do, where they're saying, well, let's try to reload. Do they, you know, I think they're looking at whoever has the best prospects to give them.
Well, if it hasn't lost its thing, then why are there no McCutchen to the Cardinal rumors?
Well, because the Cardinals haven't approached it that way. But I see what you're saying. If the Cardinals call them up and said, hey, here's Reyes and Bader, and I think you'd see McCutchen away if the price is right, it's right.
Yeah, the Cubs, anybody are going to pick up the phone if Reyes is involved in the mix, because, I mean, we're talking about now, again, a top 10 prospect in all of baseball who came up and showed that he can do it on the national stage. So for sure they're going to answer the phone. I don't think the Cardinals do that, because if they would have done it, they would have done it already.
No, right, but that's why I think it's not happening, because the Pirates are going to want a lot for him, and the Cardinals and other clubs aren't willing to give up the whole farm for him.
Do you think that now McCutchen goes back to Pittsburgh again this year? Maybe he's a trade deadline guy next year?
Well,
that's how I see it.
I think he has to. I don't see the other option.
Unless Toronto comes calling.
But I will say this. I think he's one of those guys that I love him, and I think he's one of those guys that people play better around and with. I mean, I'm a Cardinal fan and would love to see him go to St. Louis.
Yes.
I think he makes everybody – I don't know what that is, because that's not about hitting. That's not about feeling. It's not about running. It's just the way you carry yourself, your attitude. It's infectious. It makes a difference, and I think McCutchen's got that, and I think that he would help, well, any team. But
yeah, I mean, I think everybody's in agreement. We'd love to see him here, but I just don't think – the price is going to be way – I mean, you're talking about this guy's outrageous. And if he holds to the trade deadline and there's a couple of teams in it, if Nationals are close or if the Mets are close, if any of your East Coast or even your West Coast teams are there, you're talking about unloading for this guy.
If I'm the Pirates now, number one, I'm sitting there going, holy moly, we've got McCutchen. Obviously, McCutchen's not everybody talks about the attraction from Eaton was the contract or the control for the less amount of money, which I'm fine with. I get all that. At the end of the day, you still have to produce, which, you know, McCutchen did have a down year last year. Is that part of, you know, he's getting old. He's had a couple injuries. Is that part of it, or was it just a down year? I mean, the guy's been a great player. I agree with Fish 100%. He seems to be the perfect person, both for a team and clubhouse, for a group, for a fan base. Obviously, I think he would fit in. I don't know that there's a market out there that you would go, oh, he's not their kind of player. He can do everything, so how could you not look at the guy and think, man, he's our kind of player?
Well, you know me, Jimmy. I'm not the kind of guy that likes everybody.
That's right.
And so if I'm giving out those kudos, you're doing something right.
Yeah, no, I agree with you.
He's just a good player that you can tell people they enjoy playing around him. He gets the most out of himself and players around him. He's just one of those guys.
Well, you know, let's look now.
Let me interrupt you. That's what I didn't like about the third baseman for the Cardinals, the big guys, Roland.
Yeah.
Scott Roland. Yeah. I never felt that way. I never felt like he made anybody better around him than himself. Yeah. And I'm not saying he was selfish. I just don't think he was that kind of guy. The guy playing first base for Jono's team, Votto.
Yeah.
Same way.
Yeah.
No one's showing up saying, man, I want to hang out with Votto today.
Yeah, that's an interesting point.
It means a lot.
Well, you know, obviously production at the end of the day means a lot too, and you've got some guys that, you're right, Fish, don't give you that warm and fuzzy feeling. I've always kind of felt that way about Aroldis Chapman. He doesn't give me that warm and fuzzy feeling. He's had his problems off the field as well, which bring baggage. He winds up back in New York, so the Yankees basically trade him away. The Cubs give up a massive prospect to get him, which I'm sure the Cubs are fine with. I mean, they broke a 108-year drought, and Chapman was a big part of that. But the Yankees, who were essentially out of it, trade him away, get the prospect, and then they get him back. Now, albeit a record-breaking contract for a reliever, but you know, if you're the New York Yankees with the young talent that they acquired last year, and now you've got your bullpen, because let's face it, Dylan Betances filled in very well. Now he rolls back to that setup position, and you got this guy. You know, these Yankees, they're only a starter or two away from being legit.
Hey, did he come from the Yankees? He come directly from the Yankees and went back to him. See, there's some inside trader going on there. Stuff.
Well, that is inside.
There's some, there's some loan stuff going on there. Look, we're not ready to win the Yankees.
That's not just a loan. That was here's one of the best prospects in baseball.
No, I get
that. Happy about that.
Yeah, hey.
Who
the Yankees.
Happy about that?
The Yankees.
Really? So you think the Yankees might have got the better end of that deal?
Yes. Of course they did.
Really? The Cubs went 108 years without winning the World Series and got a World Series out of the deal.
They both
they're happy too.
You can never.
No, no, no.
I promise you. Chapman, the clown that they got for him, will never mean as much to the city of New York and that franchise as the Chapman and the boys just spent in Chicago.
What I mean is they win today.
Yes.
Because now they have
one today.
So do the Yankees. They have the prospect and they have
Chapman. So you're
saying
tied for first.
It was
they're both tied for first. Yes.
It was a great trade.
That is a great trade for both teams.
Absolutely. And then the Cubs lose on Chapman and immediately fill him in with the kid out of Kansas City, Wade Davis.
Who I will tell you, it isn't like they went out and got a maybe guy. This guy's dominant. Now, the problem with Davis is, and the reason why he didn't cost more than just Soler is, the reality there is, we're going to have to see if he's healthy. I mean, he had a couple of issues last year that raised the red flag, like is Tommy John coming for a guy that's had – so we'll see. If he's healthy, great trade, phenomenal trade. Even if he's not healthy, it's a good gamble for the Cubs because it's very apparent that Soler – wasn't just, I mean, they've got enough tools there. He just doesn't fit in there. Here's a guy who got traded purely on potential. He's got a big price tag, too, which is odd. So we'll see what happens with him. But, you know, he's got potential. And I'm surprised by that move, though, from Kansas City. I think they could have got more for Soler than Wade Davis. Now, saying that, they didn't, so maybe they couldn't.
Yeah, but I've read and seen some stuff where they were willing to give up some other guys, man. It's like the Royals are unloading or something.
Well, I don't know.
Small market, I do get that. It's harder for them, like the Nationals.
Well,
you know, we've been discussing off the air about Harper and the Nats not being willing to give him $400 million, you know, here in a couple years. You know, and they're probably not going to be able to do that.
Well, and again, that's why I say it. It surprises me they went the Soler route because, man, I got to believe that Wade Davis could have brought, I mean, a lot, some really high prospect. Could be completely wrong, but that remains to be seen. You know, what's the next domino to fall, guys? Is it Kenley Jansen?
You got a couple out there. You know, obviously, what we've been talking about with the shows, you know, Fowler is one coming up. Jansen, yeah, I mean, you just saw two relievers go. The market's set. Now you just need the money, right, and the team.
Well, here's my thing about Jansen. I hate to say this because I'm putting words into a situation I don't know the guy. Doesn't it read to you that he wants to go back to L.A.?
Yes.
Because if not, then why doesn't he sign the deal? I mean, Miami's reportedly offered him the deal close to Chapman's. It's, you know, and it's not a rumor. I mean, it's legit guys reporting it. They've offered it. You know, it was a big report that Loria signed off on it. Yep, this is what it's going to cost.
Because he's a golf tournament away for $20 million more dollars.
Well, is it that, or does he truly want to try to work it out in L.A.? That's what it screams to me.
Does
like,
anybody think that way anymore, Jimmy? I hate that. That's the Cardinal Kool-Aid stuff. And I love it. I wish that were true. I wish there were more guys saying, hey, I'm comfortable here. I like these guys. I want to continue playing here. But does anybody really think that way anymore? So, Jansy, he's going to get a lot of money. But if you got $20 million more dollars to go somewhere else, you don't think he'd do it?
I agree. But that is my point. He kind of is getting that $20 million more. They're both getting $20 million more than everybody expected. I don't think his agent or anybody believes for one minute he's going to get more than Chapman. So my point is they basically offered it to him. Unlike the price thing, to your point, I think this is where you're going, he basically has to be giving L.A. a chance. Would you not agree? I mean, otherwise, why wouldn't you sign it?
Right.
That's
Jimmy,
what I'm saying.
I'm telling you right now, and this is just my belief.
It's almost a Shark Tank moment where he's sitting out there going, I'd like to hear the other offers.
Yeah, because I'm telling you, if the situation, I can't think off the top of my head, a team that could really win right now with that dominant closer, which is probably a lot of teams, but if you had a team, he could get more than Chapman.
Well, he brought it up.
Were you thinking Houston?
Well, just
Washington. Houston or Washington.
Yeah. Washington, but look at if the Nats aren't going to give Bryce Harper $400 million, they're not going to, you know.
And I'm here to tell you, I haven't heard them link to him. When you said that earlier on the earlier show, it made all the sense in the world. But I haven't heard one rumor of him going there. And that's a team that needs a closer. My gut call on this is that they're sitting there licking their chops, going, well, if we can pull it off, we'll go get Ramos after they sign Jansen.
Right. You know what's surprising? What's with Houston? You know, are they outspending money at all anymore? I know at one point they were just so far behind on it, but I mean that's a big city down there. Are you guys hearing anything coming out of there? Because I know they're pretty close.
Who's that?
Houston.
Oh well, I mean, listen, getting Carlos Beltran was huge for them.
Yeah,
no doubt about that. They don't have a bad closer. I mean, they've
Carlos
got a good
Beltran,
moral point.
The same guy that played in St. Louis 30 years ago.
Yeah.
He's that huge.
He's a good DH for them.
Well,
man.
I realize he's a good DH, but he's also 64 years old.
Yeah, but the reality of it is, Fish, this is what I'm talking about on the other show. They've got some pieces down there. He's an ad. He's not a guy that they're bringing in.
Right, but you jumped that thing almost like we were talking about the Adam Ant thing and stuff, saying, when did these guys elect these guys early to the Hall of Fame? And that's the way that sounded with Beltran. Okay, Beltran might be a nice little fit piece, but come on. He's a huge piece. I mean,
he's exactly what they're missing down there, though. I mean,
we'll see.
Listen, if he comes in there and hits in that bam box, if he hits 22 home runs and hits 275, 280, drives in 100 runs like he did last year, man, that's a big piece for them. Springer, Correa. I mean,
well, I know what they got, and I like their team, too. I think they
got McCann now. They traded for Ryan McCann.
I think they are just close.
Yeah. Something was just – and I couldn't put my – I kind of phrased it wrong. I couldn't put my thumb on it. I had heard them come up a couple of times, and I knew I liked the team, obviously. But, I mean, it's – they don't spend the money like, you know, other big market teams. And technically, they're a big market team, aren't they? I mean, the fourth largest city in the country. I mean, but you don't put them in with your L.A.'s and your Chicago's and your New York spending the cash.
Yeah, is that because of the surrounding, like, with, you know, the Cowboys, it's Texas? I don't know. That would be my thing. I don't know why, but I agree with you. I mean, you would think that they've done enough, and let's face it, what's his name, the guy, Luhnow, he's went down there and done a great job. I mean, he really has. I think he's done it the right way. Now he's at a point where he's got some of these players. I need to get some veterans around him that have proven and have done this, and that's what he went out and did this year. I mean, I'm not a big – like, I love McCann. I love Beltran going there. I wasn't a big Reddick guy, but if you look at what Reddick does, he is a perfect fit for that team.
Yeah.
And I think he's going to do well there in that part. Let's face it, you could take a lot of guys that have had good careers and put them in that ballpark, and let me tell you, it's pretty strong.
Hey, it's too boring to talk about, but that is an interesting point you bring up because, you know, they are like what, the fourth largest city in the country? And I would have considered them a mid-market, small market. I mean, based on the way I think about them, one, I don't know what causes that. Like I said, I don't know if
it just has to be the way revenue, they spend, right?
Well, I don't know, I guess.
But. Well, or, you know, I mean, let's face it. There's certain markets where they're just not a big deal because there's other things going on. But, you know, Houston, Texas is a big free agency place because that you don't pay income tax, right? I mean, that's all that, like,
Florida.
They talk about, like, for instance, Dexter Fowler right now has to decide between the Cardinals and Toronto, supposedly. I'm reporting what is being reported. I'm not breaking that story. But the one issue is that if he goes to Canada, he pays more in taxes. Is that right? Am I getting that right? I mean, that's
well,
how
I mean,
seeing
but
it.
So
are they going to offer him more money? I don't know. I mean, that's my point. So there's all kinds of different reasons why these guys sometimes, you know, this looks more attractive or this looks better. At the end of the day, for some of these guys, I mean, I would think, man, I want to win. Carlos Beltran wants to win. My assumption is that he enjoyed his time the year he was traded down there and then played there. And he probably does look around there and think, man, they're close. Now, I'll argue that they're close on the pitching front, which they haven't addressed. So we'll see what happens there. But
I loved Beltran when he was here.
Yeah.
Let me tell you what.
It was 20 years ago?
It seems like it. But you talk about a playoff run that year he had in 05, was it? Or 06?
When
06.
He was with the Mets?
Nah, the one where he was with Houston, I think it was 05.
Who you talking about, Beltran?
Beltran. It might be one of the best playoff runs, 04 or 05, one of the best playoff runs of all time.
Wasn't that when he was with the Mets?
06 was with the Mets, I think.
Because that's where he was dominant. I mean, he was just, wasn't it?
Now, there was some time where he was with Houston where he just, I mean, just absolutely killed the ball in the playoffs. Like, literally, I mean, like, every time he swung, the ball left the ballpark.
Well, I think he did that with the Mets, too.
And he was on fire there for a couple
years.
I'll
tell you what, it's going to be interesting. You know, let's see. Let's reconvene back here next week and see what else has happened. I'm wondering if there'll be. I think my guess would be is by this time next week we'll see where Jansen is. And I just think now that Colorado's sitting there licking their chops, thinking, okay, we've got a player in the game. I'd be curious to see what happens with McCutchen. But you know, some of these are there. You mentioned earlier. You know, Washington still needs a closer. I think Houston needs some starting pitching. I think the Yankees need some starting pitching. Be curious to see what they do there. I don't know. Good stuff. I'll tell you what, I love these quick hitter shows like this when there's just that going on, because let's face it, that's all anybody's talking about right now. I mean, the CBA was signed last week. It's done. It's kind of like, okay, it's in the rearview mirror. We're signed. We're not having a work stoppage. Let's get to the business of making our teams better. Great conversation. It's awesome conversation stuff.
And one thing we didn't hit very much is Holiday going up to New York, too.
Yeah, well.
And it's near and dear up here in St. Louis, right?
Yeah. Well, that'll do it for this week's edition of the Bleacher Bums. I ask you to check out BleacherBumsPodcast.com. Make sure you follow us on Twitter, @BumsPodcast. Of course, Facebook.com/BleacherBumsPodcast. Really enjoyed having you guys on this week. For Jim, Steve, and Fish, we will see you next week.
Thanks for listening.
This podcast was a presentation of LightUpMedia.fm.